enjoy it. All right, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We will not be in the book of Revelation this morning. I preached Sunday night last week on the language of faith. I felt like the Lord was leading me in maybe a series of messages here. I got a lot of titles. I hadn't got all the meat on the bone for everything. But the thing that the Lord laid on my heart was to preach today on the language of forgiveness. The language of forgiveness. The scripture is our base of how we ought to forgive one another. And this world's filled up with bitterness and unforgiveness between church family and churches and families, co-workers, and on we could go. Countries get in disagreements that they will not, no one side will budge on. And there's a lot of powerful scripture concerning this. And the Lord help me, I'd like to preach with this thought this morning on the language of forgiveness. I want you to turn, we'll pick up possibly with Revelation, probably going to be a couple of Christmas messages this month, probably pick up with Revelation back in January in between the times that we have, but we will get back to it. We'll get into the seven vials for certain. But Matthew chapter number 18, I want you to pick up here with us, verse number 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Y'all ever thought about asking the Lord something like that? Till seven times? Now, where did Peter get seven times? He's requesting an answer here. The word request is a question with a need of a response to it. Whether it's a physical thing or an answer, it's not a rhetorical question where you ask a question that the answer is already well known, everybody knows it already, or it's very obvious. But earlier in the scriptures in the book of Luke, chapter 17, don't have to turn, but you can write the references there. Jesus said, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. First thing comes in our mind is the cynicism, probably. They're not sincere. They're not real. They just said it seven times to see if I would forgive them seven times. But that's where this request comes from. Peter has a reference, this number seven. And so he asked the Lord here, Lord, how oft, verse 21 of Matthew 18, 21, how oft shall my brother sin against me? How often should this go on? And I forgive him. Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's a high bar. Forgiveness is a land that we will be drowned in if we try to live in it in the flesh. You cannot survive it. And if you compare forgiveness based on your individual dealings with other people, you're going to be a very bitter, cynical, hurt, jealous, envious, covetous, and you can name them all. You're going to have a lot of baggage in your life. But if your reference is unto Christ, it's going to change your perspective. So I want to look at some of those thoughts because the scripture gives this to us. And he asks these questions in these verses. And then he goes into verse 23. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when, verse 24, when he had begun to reckon, and that's not the southern version of reckon, you know, I reckon. This is the biblical reckoning. Amen. He began to reckon and count numbers and find out where everything stood like an accounting process. One was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. Now this value goes up with the price of gold and silver. It goes up and down all the time. But to get your thought in mind, this is millions of dollars. This is an amount that's just overwhelming. This person accumulated this debt. Verse 25, for as much as he had not to pay, His Lord commanded him to be sold. He was going to sell him, his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which is a lot comparing a dollar to millions of dollars. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Wow. He got a free get out of jail card. He's walking in the steps of forgiveness to go and grab his brother, his fellow servant, around the throat to demand of him what little bit he owed him. That's a convicting scripture right there. Well, his fellow servant fell down at his feet, verse 29, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Same words. And he would not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you help us this morning. We need your anointing. We need your power. I pray, Lord, that you would use this for whatever purpose is needed. Lord, you know our hearts. Lord, we can come here, try to look good before each other, try to put on airs. But God, you know deep down in our heart where the unforgiveness is and that which is causing so much other struggles and strife in our spiritual walk. Lord, I believe you led us and laid this message on our heart. And I pray, God, that you'd help us with it today and speak to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Peter has this request to Jesus about this phrase. It's like, how often should somebody do this stuff to me? 7 times? Because he was ready to embrace that and try to accept that and try to do that. And there's certain things in Christianity that some of you right now, you're trying to do it. It seems very hard, but you're trying. You're trying to forgive your enemy. You're trying to be kind to those who despitefully use you. You're trying. Peter's trying. Peter was one of those roller coaster disciples. I relate to him a lot. Amen. There are many times Peter had his foot in his mouth. I relate to him a lot. But there were some moments Peter shined and he did well. And he was thinking he was shining here. How many times do my brother sin against me? 7 times? And Jesus says, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times. 7. Almost sounds like Jesus knew what Peter was thinking.
Yes, sir. That's right.
I'll just go ahead and share this with you. Jesus did know what Peter was thinking. So these language of forgiveness, this thought of 7 times, is almost something that I strive to try to do. But when the Bible goes to 70 times 7, it's out of my ballpark. It's a number that I couldn't even keep up with. Can you imagine the bitterness trying to say, this is 490, this is 489, buddy. 489, you about to cross the marker. I'm about to send the doom of God on you because 490 and that's it. No human being ever makes it. Hardly to 7, let alone 490. But he's requesting and requiring an answer for him because he knows he needs an answer from somebody who's an authority on the subject, amen? And he doesn't even quite understand yet how much an authority Jesus is on forgiveness. He has pronounced and announced it. He has healed people and said, thy sins be forgiven thee, thy sins be forgiven thee. Take up thy bed and walk. He would heal them heal there and heal them over there. And Peter didn't know how much. I know more at this point than Peter did at that point. How great an authority Jesus is on forgiveness.
Right.
So the words and the languages of between Peter and the story that Jesus shares, this is the language of forgiveness in a realm that's much different. Peter had a reference of 7 times, and Jesus ruined that reference. 70 times, 7. That's 490. Well, should I just give up? But Jesus is referring to something that has to have a spiritual power to it. And it's something that we need to realize and learn some things concerning how the Lord has forgiven us and what he has done for us. That one man was wroth and he grabbed his fellow servant around the throat. which is something some of you, I've been watching, no, I'm just kidding, I haven't got time to watch what you get into, amen. I can't keep up with myself. Can you imagine if I had a GoPro camera and everybody and saw y'all Christmas shopping and choking people around the neck? That's mine. Well, the Bible teaches us that, as Peter brought this up, how often shall my brother sin against me? Now, how often should I put up with this and I forgive him? Because forgiveness is not a trivial word. It's not something light to be taken lightly, to forgive. And I've heard this, I'll forgive him, preacher, but I won't forget it. You didn't forgive him.
Right.
Not the biblical way.
Right.
You forgave them in this word only, not in deed, and you're trying to hold something over. You're waiting as you count down the times, right? You're waiting. You're trying to hold them in debt to you, like that somehow you are in a different debt of your sin unto God. Boy, if we could wake up to understand that, it would change things. Colossians 2:13-14, listen to this scripture. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, Colossians 2, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Everything written down by hand, all the ordinances of the law that was written down and recorded that was against you, showed that you and I were guilty. The Bible said Jesus blotted it all out. Everything, he said, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way. How can you do that? Can you just sweep it under the rug? I mean, do you just pretend it doesn't exist? No, he nailed it to his cross. Your trespasses, your debt, my debt, our sins, every one of them, of the whole world, hard to fathom this, he nailed it to the cross. He paid for them all. Ephesians 4:32, it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That puts things in perspective, doesn't it? 1 John 2:12, the Bible says, your sins are forgiven for you for his name's sake. The sake, the name of Jesus is why God forgave you and I of our sins. It's not anything you've done. It's not because you forgave somebody 491 times. It's not because you sin less than someone else. It's because all the sins of the whole world, of all mankind, were placed on him. The Bible says the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. In Matthew 6:12-14, I'm just giving you some groundwork. The Bible says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This puts a different emphasis on the word debt and trespasses. It said, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But then it also says, forgive us our debts. These words have different meanings to them when it comes to the debt you owe God. And the little slip-ups and the little trip-ups and the little trivial small things that other men and women and brothers and sisters and family do to you and each other that we will not forgive.
Right.
And it's a wonder sometimes what God uses strong scriptures like that to tell us, if you won't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. If you won't let go of that, I'm going to hold it to you. And I was talking to somebody the other day that was talking about somebody in their family praying for them, and we were talking about their spiritual condition. And if that person gets on their knees and starts praying for you, then they're going to be immediately reminded of where they are, their sin debt to God.
Right.
They're going to be reminded where their spiritual condition is, and they may want to pray for you, but it won't be long. They'll be realizing they need to be praying for themselves.
Sir.
And they'll start thinking about where they are spiritually.
Yes, sir.
A trespass, a slip up, getting off course somehow. Some of the small things that we do to offend each other, that we go around choking each other around the throat over, God, please convict us with the language of forgiveness. Help me to take my hands off the throat of other people who I act like have sinned worse than I have somehow, compared to remind me of how I have transgressed the law of an almighty God. Matthew 5:7 says, blessed are the merciful, full of mercy, for they shall obtain mercy. With this spirit of forgiveness, is offered to you and I, like in this story where this man owed millions of dollars. He got on his knees and he worshiped and he prayed for patience and ability to try to reconcile it, try to repay that. And that master gave him forgiveness. He loosed him. He loosened him from that debt. Now, I don't know how many. We've probably got about 30 millionaires in our church this morning. I'm going to get banned off of every social media platform that we're on because we're lying. I doubt we got one millionaire in the whole bunch of us. But it could be. It could be. And don't let nobody know about who you are. Amen. Just don't tell us. We don't even want to know. But you think about all the thought here, this spirit of forgiveness of millions of dollars that he just released. He loosened him from that debt. And he just let him go free. He didn't owe it anymore. And instead of going at him the liberty of that forgiveness, he went directly and sought out someone underneath him who he thought was underneath him. Someone who owed him. He owes me. And he put his hands around his throat, demanding. And the man prayed the same prayer. Please have patience. Please let me. And he put him in jail. Put him in prison. The very opposite of loosening and forgiving, he put him in worse debt, in a worse condition. Where, and I don't know if you ever thought about this, but if somebody owes you money and you put them in jail, you think you're going to get your money? I don't think that works too well. But what I think about the spiritual application to that is how that we look down on one another and we attack one another and we choke people around the throat in different manners like that. And we put them in some type of prison to us and expecting them to do something better spiritually to get out of it when we have stepped on them and beat them down and attacked them and spoken against them and we don't pray for them. We don't do anything in the realms of mercy. Everything's judgment upon them. It's no wonder the church and our homes and this world is in the mess it is. We don't even halfway close to tapping in onto the realm of real language of forgiveness. Peter thought 7 was pretty good. He thought he was talking to talk, walking to walk. Jesus said 70 times 7. And you don't hear Peter say much after that, do you? Jesus did all the talking for the rest of the chapter. Ever thought about that? Maybe Peter has kept his mouth shut here for a moment and listened. I don't think he had much to offer after that, did he? Well, Lord, I'm at 400. No, he didn't have nothing to offer. He thought he was doing good to do 7. He was working on 7 when Jesus said, nope. It's more impossible than that. It's only through Christ that we can understand the true language of forgiveness. And with this spirit of forgiveness is offered through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is inexcusable, unacceptable for you and I to hold unforgiveness in our heart when he has forgiven us of so much. And if you forget that, there's something wrong with you spiritually. You might not even be saved. I don't know. And we come to church, we're reminded of our debt. We sing songs that remind us of how much he loved us and how much a wretch we are. Amen. And we like it. Amen. That's a really messed up crowd, isn't it? You're singing about how I'm a wretch, such a wretch as I, and I enjoy it, and all I can think about is how merciful and how gracious my Savior is. Yes. Keep your heart and mind filled with things like that. You won't go around choking people around the neck, trying to get a dollar out of them. When you realize in the realm of things you owe millions of debt you could never repay to the Lord. Luke 7, I want you to turn with me there. We'll go back. Luke chapter 7. In Luke 7, we'll pick up with verse 40. This is a different Simon. This is not Simon Peter. This is when the Pharisees, Jesus went to the Pharisees' house to eat. And there's a story revealed here. The woman brought the alabaster box and she anointed his feet. She wiped his feet. She was crying, merciful, overwhelmed by the graciousness and the forgiveness of God that embodied who Jesus Christ was. And in verse 40, Jesus answering and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. That's one of those you know, you're getting ready to get scolded, you're getting ready to get schooled sort of statements. Go ahead, what you got to say? There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed, notice this language of forgiveness, there's always something owed. There's a comparison of a great debt that's just impossible almost to pay, or it's comparing these debts. And it said one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, neither one of them had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Wow. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. He turned to the woman and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? And see, they were making fun of the woman. They were attacking the woman. She was a sinner. And they were judging her and not themselves. And he said, this woman, you see, I entered in thy house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, which was the custom to have a water pot to wash their feet off when they come into a house. He didn't offer Jesus that. The courtesy of a common guest. Didn't even treat him like one. But he wanted him to come to his house. She had washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came and hath ceased not to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. His feet, not the head, not the crown of it, not that what showcases your honor, but the most lowliest part. She was bowing and approaching his feet. He says, verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. What a reflection of forgiveness here. Just think of your life before you got saved. Think about where you are now. And you think about reevaluating the level of forgiveness that you and I have received versus how we dish it out to people. It's a sad judgment, but it's true. The church is held to a higher standard as believers, and this world is right. We are some of the most unforgiving people at times that walk on this planet. I think it's because a lot of them's not saved, and they're pretending to be something that they're not because they can't forgive to that level of forgiveness because they don't have Christ in them, the hope of glory. But you need to reevaluate and think about the value of debt. As that one man in Matthew 18 had millions that were owed and he forgave it. And the other man, now walking around free, all he could think about was, he owes me 100 pence. It was just like a dollar around, just a little bit of value. Yeah. Compared to what he was just loosened from, now he wants to enslave somebody else with something even smaller. That spirit of unforgiveness is killing families, killing churches. It kills our nation. It's killing our world. If we value our debt to God as little, as he talked about here, Simon was just filled with pride, like he was greater than Jesus, better than Jesus. Maybe it was just an oddity to see him. And then this sinner woman comes in and begins to cry and weep, and she's dabbing his feet with her tears, and she's anointing, and she's just worshiping him and honoring him like he didn't at all. And he didn't understand it. And he gave him, he said, which one will forgive most? Excuse me. Which, he said, tell me therefore which of them will love him most. And Simon said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he's displaying right there, this woman's been forgiven of more than he had. And the problem is because Simon didn't think he had anything to be forgiven of.
That's right.
Simon was a Pharisee, thought he was better than other people. You'll live better in the language of forgiveness. If I always remember, you owed a debt you could not pay. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross to save sinners. And he paid all that debt. He loosened you. He had compassion on you and released you of that debt. If we realized that, we would love him much. It wouldn't take much to stir up a church if they had their mind on the language of forgiveness like this. You could break out an old song. Some of you think, That old thing again, Amazing Grace, my soul, it's so old and stale. Not to a wretch like me, it's not. Amen. Not to somebody like me who knew he'd die, should have deserved to go to hell. Written by that slave, may it master. He's traveling, Mr. Was it Watts? I believe it's what traveling. Newton, what's his name? Somebody, Newton, not Isaac Newton. I'm getting my Newton's, big Newton's mixed up. Mr. Newton, the author of that song, was on a slave trading ship. And they believe that the spirit of that song was influenced by those black slaves that came over there. And he wrote that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Amen.
What is the response concerning this language of forgiveness? We ought to reach out for forgiveness from the Lord if we don't have it. We ought to desire it. It's loosening. It's freeing. To have that powerful thought, you are forgiven. Everything that you owed me has been paid off. Amen. Anybody ever pay anything off? Maybe not long, but ever pay something off? Brother Jesse and I were talking about that truck got paid off. It drives different, amen?
Right.
It can be wobbling and doing all kinds of stuff, but it drives different when it's yours, amen? When it's paid in full. But boy, if we could get a hold of that thought, every day His mercies are new, and every day there's a newness and a freeness and an anointing in His Spirit to know that we have been forgiven and the debt is paid. The propitiation of our sins is secured in heaven. There's not going to be one moment in history where He's going to say, you run out of forgiveness, because He never runs out of the forgiveness that He offered through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And think about reaching out to others in forgiveness instead of choking them around the throat. The Bible gives us a great challenge. It's amazing. I don't know if the clock stopped. I feel like I've been up here an hour. I feel like I'd never get this far. Oh, I'm going to keep preaching. I am. But I'm just way ahead of where I thought I'd be. Amen. The Bible says, if you know your brother's got an ought against you, you don't wait in your condescending tone of voice, well, I'm not going, they're going to come to me. No, you got to go to them.
Right.
That's the language of forgiveness.
Yeah.
It's a preacher, that style. Take that up with Jesus. I don't like it either. I'm just preaching it. I don't have to like everything I preach. Amen. I'm not going to fly away out of here with a halo on my head. I'd much rather somebody come to me and then I knew we didn't have. But the Bible teaches me I can't even lay the gift of my worship at the altar. He won't even accept it till I go try to make it right. And you might not make it right with everybody, but you can try.
That's right, preacher.
And you leave it up to God. I'll tell you this, even if somebody has already died and gone on and you knew there was an ought, you still need to get it right in your heart unto God.
That's right.
That's as far as you can take it. That's as far as we need to take it. Is to give it to the Lord. But if I know I got somebody's got an ought against me on both sides of that thing, if I'm aware of and I know I've offended them, I should go try to fix it with them. That's common sense, isn't it? And the Bible also reveals to us that if I know they got a problem with me, an ought means an offense or a hurt or some kind of trespass, then I need to try to make it right with them. He said, preacher, they're not going to forgive me. Well, I'll find this. This is my experience in ministry. Most people reply with stuff like that have never even tried.
Yeah, you're right.
But if you have tried, then the Bible even tells us that we go with a witness. Try to fix it. He said, this Bible thing is about to kill me. Now you know why Peter said seven times? Oh, no, Peter, 70 times 7. Well, I don't know anybody can do that but you. Jackpot. Only Jesus Christ could forgive such a debt that I owe. And help me when He saved me and remind me every day as I crucify myself daily, if I do it, it will remind me of the debt that was paid when He died on the cross for my sin. And I could reach out to others to forgive them of the ought that they have against me. The Bible tells us when we get saved, He puts us in the ministry of reconciliation.
Yep.
Everybody's not going to be a preacher. Everybody's not going to be a teacher. Everybody's not going to sing or have the gift of helps or whatever it might be. But everybody has the ministry of reconciliation. And if you're saved, that's probably why some of you have gone through a lot of grief in your life and your family, because different things that go on, it grieves you because things are not reconciled. And you maybe you have tried in areas where the other side will not come to terms. That's a hard place to go. But you try to leave your gift at the altar. If you've tried to make it right with them, then you can go on in that freedom of forgiveness, because the Bible says you can.
Yes, sir.
Don't be enslaved with their hand around your throat and their words of forgiveness that you're not loosed until they say you're loose. They got no business in that realm.
Amen.
When you're saved and you're forgiven, even if you failed and made a mistake, the Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just.
Yes.
Faithful and just.
Yes.
So I might have somebody who hates me and they won't forgive me, and I've got a few people that don't like me. I do. I know y'all don't believe that, but I've tried as far as I can go. I'm going to shake off the dust of my feet. I'm going to walk on in forgiveness.
Right.
And I'm not going to... Can you imagine being free when you should have been in jail, your family sold, everything taken from you and not even touch the debt, and you're forgiven of all of it and walking in freedom and putting your hands around other people's necks in unforgiveness. We want to easily be forgiven, but we don't want to easily forgive. If we mess up, and you know how, and this is human nature. And let's say Sister Becky did this up here. She decorated. I'm not sure who all helped her. But if I were to get crazy almost and knock this off, is this glass? Well, let's imagine it was glass, and I knocked one of them poinsettias off, and it's shattered. Cannot be fixed. Cannot be repaired. It's just shattered. And she'd be like, I knew that crazy wild preacher would knock off that thing and break it. And hold bitterness in her heart of something that's replaceable.
Yeah.
Maybe not repairable. In the realms of spiritual things, there's a lot more things repairable than we understand.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's so much that grace can replace that we can't comprehend. And we hold trivial little things. There's nothing wrong. Me and Sister Becky are good. Don't y'all look at me. Don't y'all start spreading rumors. Me and Sister Becky are good. Got no problems. Haven't broke anything in a long time. And she forgave me when whatever it was that I broke last time. Nothing like having forgiveness and knowing the guilt and the condemnation and the shame and all that chains you down and all the zeros on the number. You just feel, and you know what it's like financially. Many of you've gone through ups and downs in life with things when it might have, if it was $10, it might as well have been $1 million, because you still didn't have it no matter what it was. And something comes along and says, paid in full. You get a bill like that in the mail and say, hallelujah. And every once in a while you get little refunds in the mail that you didn't remember, that you didn't even know. You ever get an insurance refund on anything? That's like grace in an envelope. Wow, I got 37 cents. Hallelujah. From Blue Cross Blue Shield. Amen. Rejoice about forgiveness and the forgiveness that we have and the forgiveness that we can have of one another. If a brother can be won instead of lost, or continue to be on the outs with you because you continue to count them as your enemy, you are living under the power of Satan, under the judgment of God. You're living in a life that is not victorious. You're living in a life that's bound in shackles. When there are no doubt, maybe even here, blood family won't speak to each other. You got somebody, and I know some of you do, and you've tried everything you can do, and you can't go any farther. You just got to leave it at the feet of Jesus. But don't walk around with them with their make-believe plastic chains of unforgiveness on you when you know you've done everything biblically that you can do. You are set free. As Jesus said, woman, thou art loosed. You're set free from that. That's the language of forgiveness. But if you haven't done anything, and maybe you think about it, I'm the more guilty party. I'm the one that always condemns them or judges them. I'm always attacking them. I'm always pushing them down. I'm the one that's got my hand around their throat all the time. Then you need to get your heart right with God and them. And then you can rejoice of your forgiveness and being forgiven yourself. And all that guilt and bitterness is gone. You can rejoice with other sinners. And we don't compare to, well, I owed $800 billion. We all just say we're just all sinners saved by the grace of God.
That's right.
And you can open up one of them hymns that talks about Him and talks to Him highly and lifts Him up and reminds us of who we are. As one song says, such a worm as I, at the cross where I first saw the light. Sister Becky's going to come play something for us. What a contrast of having everything forgiven and let go, and that same person takes steps of judgment, steps up to that fellow servant to put his hands on his throat. And it might not be that you've done that physically, but what about in your mind? Wrapped around your hands of unforgiveness around someone when you know God has forgiven you of all your trespasses. He's been nothing but gracious and nothing but merciful to you. And you hold these little trespasses over people. You won't let them go. You just keep making new links of chains and trying to bind them down. When in essence, really, you're the one shackling yourself down. You're staying defeated. Quit holding on to unforgiveness so tightly. Reach out to the forgiveness that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let go, drop it, forgive it, repent. Remember the forgiveness that you have received through the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible says in Isaiah 53:6, and all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. As she plays. In this story, the man had nothing to pay. He couldn't pay it. Compassion was given. And he was loosed and forgiven of his debt. How long has it been since you remember that feeling when you got your heart right with God, when you got saved and that all that sin debt was lifted off? That's a joyous occasion. But you know what? We don't have to lose the joy of that. That can be something we enjoy every time we come to the house of God. If we'll forgive all the little trivial things and things that we have oughts against others in our church, our family, some kind of something, maybe you got hurt somehow. Man, let that stuff go. It's not worth it. You are living in the multitude upon a multitude of forgiveness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why be distracted by a small trivial trespass, knowing how much God forgave you? Why do we hold that stuff over each other's heads? Tried to give you my heart. Joanna, would you come and pray for her? I don't think unforgiveness and bitterness is, I think it chains us down more than we'll ever understand. You can't even pray right. You can't read your Bible right. You can't apply it correctly. Because you got all this stuff going on in your life. When you get that thing right between you and the Lord, and the best you can between the people that maybe that you offended or they have an ought against you, you are free. Free. I remember I had this girl that borrowed some bail money. We made $300 to get her out of jail. She had just said she'd just gotten saved. We had been picking up from church and stuff, trying to work with her. Me and Joanna hadn't been married very long, and $300 was a lot to us, and I gave it in the wrong spirit. I gave it to help her when she promised to give it back, and she never even came back to church. She never brought it back to me. And I held bitterness in my heart towards her for so long. Somebody preached the word of God and the Holy Spirit came by my heart and knocked on my heart's door and said, you got to get this. You are ruining your own walk by not forgiving in this girl. Every time I'd hear her name or see her somewhere, it was just nothing but unforgiveness that came to the surface. It was like I had my, Brother Jeremy, it was like I had my hands around her throat. One day God got a hold of my heart and I let that go. I told my wife, Joanne, I said, we're not going to worry about it. She don't owe it no more. I don't look for it back. I don't want for it back. I'm done with it. Man, that was so liberating. So liberating. And you got to be careful not to shut up the bowels of your compassion and not want to help somebody else because of the bad experience that you had. Boy, God helped me through that. So I just try to reach out and help where I can, when I can. Owing no man anything. I fell a lot in my walk. But if I lived in the light of truly how much forgiveness the Lord has given me, how faithful He's been, and how much blood the blood shed for me forgave me of all my sin. If I could just remember that, it would change my whole perspective on my life. I would have true victory. What's your response? You're going to reach out for forgiveness. You're going to pray and reach out for somebody else. I need to forgive. I want to ask a show of hands. Nobody looking around. Preacher, this is the message. You preached it, so we all know where we are. And the Lord knows more than anything. I got somebody on my heart. I know I need to forgive. Would you pray for me? Hands up everywhere. You know what? Probably almost every one of us, if we really deeply thought about it, there's probably somebody somewhere that we just need to forgive and let it go and move on. When you compare how much God has forgiven us, compare us to try to focus on that one thing or that situation, it's time to let it go. It's time to just cast that care on the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and move on. And just walk in the freedom of the forgiveness that the Lord has provided. Anybody say, preacher, pray for me. I got somebody. I know they got an ought against me, and I'm afraid to go to them. I'm afraid to talk to them. I know I need to. Would you pray for me? If you do that, praying about it, God will help you through that. He may fix it in a way you can never imagine. But regardless of what happens, your spirit's set free. You've done what you did right unto the Lord the best you can. And you shake loose of that bitterness and that strife and that debt. And walk in the newness of life through the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that you'd help our people. I pray you'll use the message, Lord, and do way more with it, Lord, than I stumbled to do today. God, I pray that you'd please help us, God, not to walk with bitterness and unforgiveness towards others of the trespasses they have done against us. In the backdrop, in the light of all the debt of sin that we owe against you, and you have forgiven it, you have washed it and paid for it through your blood. Lord, may we rejoice over that thought of being forgiven. Take our hands off the throats of others and loose them and forgive and go on, Lord, with a spirit of a clean heart and forgiveness in our soul and walk in the freedom of the truth that makes us free. In Jesus' name we pray.